Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again with my fantastic co-host, Al McDonald. Al, how's your summer shaping up?
Oh, my summer's shaping up great. It's been some great weather, some great cycling weather. As everyone knows, I love to do that. So that's been great. And I'm very excited about our guest today because I think we're going to be exploring some things that, you know, we've touched a lot on health-related issues on the podcast. And today's something a little bit different. And I think it'll hit home for a lot of people. So looking forward to it.
Well, Al, you know, I always love meeting new people. And I got to give a shout out to one of my good friends from the industry, Caroline Egan from the Benefits Alliance. She's the president of that organization. And we've been in chats for many, many years. And she finally convinced me to come over to the Benefits Alliance. So this spring, I went to my first Benefits Alliance event. Caroline knocked it out of the park. I was fanboying over Caroline because she had done such a great job. And I was so glad I went because I met someone who was in the exhibitors hall and the company called Regenalife. And that's where I met today's guest. So I'm going to do a bit of an intro here, but that has turned into a very good working relationship. And I would dare say a friendship that I'm really, really happy about. So let's dive into it. We are thrilled to welcome Lisa Miloszewski. And I think I said that right. Head of Business Development at Regenalife. Lisa is a purpose-driven business leader and strategic connector with a passion for transforming the way people think about health and longevity. She's helping reimagine how we access and experience regenerative health, turning bold ideas into real-world solutions. With a diverse background spanning entrepreneurship, coaching, leadership development, and healthcare technology, Lisa offers a holistic, human-centered approach to growth. She has spent her career championing organizations committed to building healthier futures from elite wellness clinics to tech-forward health startups. Her work is guided by a deep curiosity about what drives lasting change and a desire to support brands that challenge the status quo. Curious by nature and global in mindset, she has traveled to 45 countries, speaks 4 languages, and values the richness of diverse people, cultures, and perspectives. A natural networker and storyteller, Lisa is energized by bold ideas and the change makers behind them. She leads with compassion and clarity and holds an unwavering belief that every problem has a solution. Sometimes you just need the right guide to find it. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you and Al. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, Lisa, I know 2 of your languages, and I guess I could have welcomed you to the show with Dzień dobry this morning. So I know there's English and Polish, but what are the other 2?
Well, I've got French behind me. So I went through our school system learning French all the way through in the French immersion program. I worked a little bit in French early on in my career as well. So I try to keep that fresh wherever I can. And then I've got un poquito en español as well. So a little bit there, not nearly as fluent, but enough to be a little dangerous sometimes.
Muy bueno. So you're the fun person to hang around. If you're going down in an all-inclusive in Mexico, Lisa's by your side, you definitely get served that cerveza.
Yeah, I could go on that side for sure.
Well, that's great. We've had so many great conversations. And in fact, we were having one and we got to hit record this morning because we're having one even before we hit record on this podcast. But where I thought we'd start, and just reading your bio, you know, you've worked across leadership coaching, healthcare innovation, you've done a number of things. But when I look at you, I see that through line seems to be your passion for human potential. So can you talk a little bit about how you ended up where you are today? And that might include about the company itself, because I've been out to one of your events. I've met your CEO. I've met your founder. And it's really quite incredible what you folks are doing at RegenaLife.
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey through this is a very personal one for sure. I basically had several years of intense stress. Like I'd say the better part of 15 years, intense stress that I normalized. And it all started through school, right? So you're young and green and you want to do great things in life. And I took a challenging undergrad program. I worked super hard. I got into the working world. I started hammering through that, trying to achieve ambitious, learn everything that I can, grow in my roles, go on and on. Personally, you know, you want to have the success at work, to have the success at home, to, you know, buy your house and make your life, all the things. I started to juggle, like many people do, so many different balls. And it got to be a lot. And I didn't know it at the time necessarily, but my body was slowly giving up on me. I had all sorts of issues that felt kind of minor, didn't seem necessarily like such a big deal, but they grew louder and no one could help me with it. And it took a really long time of dealing with these strange things before I ultimately realized that I'd been suffering from burnout. And I say normalized stress that I experienced because it was so constant and so chronic that it was just the new bar. That was the way of living. You know, this was pre-COVID. Imagine that too, right? Commuting, all of that, all of the stuff. And so on my journey, I needed to figure out what was going on with me. And through that, I started to learn just how smart our body is. Our body knows things are wrong before our brains ever really communicate that to us. And it was through that journey that I started to learn about that, how powerful our bodies are, how smart our bodies are, and then also recognizing that the conventional solutions weren't working for me. So it was through that journey that I wound up working with our chief medical officer, Dr. Christy Prowse. And so I started really learning about this world of functional medicine and all that good stuff. So that's what really led me into it originally and got me motivated on my own health and how to really optimize my own health. And here we are today. The opportunity came around to really work at this more full time. And here I am.
Lisa, that's really interesting. I'm always curious to hear, you know, how people ended up where they are and kind of their journey. But during your answer, you did mention your personal experience and your personal journey. So I was hoping you could chat about how being at this company and kind of your journey throughout your career has still led to making decisions about your own health as you move forward. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, until I really understood and got introduced to the concept of a holistic view of ourselves and to do super deep dives into your own health and understand the various components, you know, various different blood work and all that sort of stuff. It wasn't until then that I started to realize, oh, you know, maybe there's a cortisol issue. Oh, look at the gut issues that I'm having, or, oh, you know, whatever various things that were going on. And so really, when you have targeted approaches, a very personalized approaches to tackling some of these issues, it's amazing how you start to feel better, right? Like, oh, brain fog is slowly starting to disappear. Oh, I have a little bit more energy, right? And I was doing all the things, right? I was going to the gym. I was working out. I was trying to get my sleep. None of that seemed to be working until we took a deeper dive to see, oh, okay, there's actual deficiencies going on here that no one else is asking me about or no one else is checking for. And it made a world of difference. It's a journey. It continues to go. Life gets in our way. Things are happening. But to have kind of our finger on the pulse in that sense, to really keep an eye on what's happening and optimizing our health, it's made a world of difference for me.
Yeah. And it's interesting you talk about that, Lisa, because as I've gotten older, I've come to realize that I think, you know, a lot of times we just take stuff for granted. Right? We take our bodies for granted. We kind of believe that everything that's going on, everyone else must be going through the same thing.
Yes.
So, and that's not true. So I think the fact that you have talked about some of the things that you've learned about yourself is a really, really powerful message. Everyone's different, right? Everyone's got their own things that they're going through, and there's no one else that's going to really understand what you are going through. You've kind of got to advocate for yourself. And I think that's more and more important these days. I could tell you a story maybe at another time, but we'll go down that path another time.
Absolutely. Everybody's got a story.
Everyone's got a story. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm really curious though. Can you just talk a little bit more about Regina Life itself? Like what it does, what it's bringing to the table for people. And you know, we talked a little bit about some of the different things right before we hopped on the podcast. And I think that's really important to share with our listeners. So can you just talk a little bit about Regina Life and what it's uniquely doing these days?
So RegenaLife is, in fact, a health company. We're focused on the early detection of the most chronic diseases that are facing Canadians today, specifically cancer, heart disease, and neurodegenerative diseases. And within that, specifically, Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's. So what we're doing is we're bringing access to technology that isn't otherwise available in Canada that offers the detection at the earliest stages of disease. So we're really offering patients and clients the opportunity to really proactively take control of their health and really start to implement interventions that'll help to take control of the health before symptoms really start to appear.
So that's really interesting to me, because I'll share a little story with you. So my dad lived with Parkinson's for probably the last 15 years of his life. And I remember when my sister and I, first started seeing the signs, and it was those, the signs were there. I remember speaking with my mom, and I'm going to bet the diagnosis that, yes, your dad has Parkinson's probably took a year and a half, I'm going to say. Like, that was the journey. We're doing these tests, we're waiting for the results, so we got to do more tests. And then it was finally like, yep, it's Parkinson's. So it's amazing that you're talking about much earlier and much quicker detection. So I don't know if you've got any thoughts around that, but maybe just another thing that I'd love to hear from you is, what is regenerative medicine? Because that's a term that's come up a little bit more these days. I'm not sure I understand it myself. So a little bit of a two-parter there.
Yeah, absolutely. So regenerative health is really the ability for your body to heal itself and given the right environments and the right interventions. Our body is such a powerful machine and it's capable of doing a lot, but it does need the support. In our environment today, we've got so many factors that are influencing our genetic expression, right? We've got environmental concerns. We're consuming a lot of things, whether it's the processed food, whether it's the lotions and potions that we put on our skin and all of that stuff. And it's all impacting the way our body expresses itself. So this area of medicine is really focused on undoing that where possible and really preventing the harm that's associated with that. And so the point that you mentioned there about the diagnosis and taking time, and it's tragic, and it's a very common story that we hear. And people feel very powerless in our system because we don't have the effective diagnostic tools for this, for many of these diseases. I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more depth, but the tools are limited and we're at the mercy of what the public system is offering us. And that's all well and good until it affects us. And you're the one struggling to get a diagnosis or know what to do about it. And so the technology that we're leveraging, it's enhanced by AI. So, in the case of brain health, we'll do imaging of the brain and the images get enhanced and interpreted by AI to measure the changes in the brain and the cavity, all of the patterning, and to really start pinpointing the early presence of such disease. And, at RegenaLife, not only are we doing the screening, but a fundamental component of what we're doing is marrying that with the functional medicine approach. And that is really that holistic view of the patient to say, okay, what else might be causing this or an aggravating factor to it? And how else might we be able to support a patient to either reverse the sign of disease, stop it in its tracks, or control its progression? So it's really rich in terms of the information our screenings will provide and the clinical support that we offer to really take control of anything that's going on in your body.
What was very interesting to me when I attended one of your events and I met, and I can't remember his name, so I apologize, very nice gentleman. I sat beside him and I was joking around with him because he had been through some heart disease. And I think the story was along the lines of something was wrong. He went into the public system. Nothing's wrong with you. Go home. I think he somehow knows the founder at RegenaLife. And they had discovered one of the valves that's kind of hidden on general when you look at it under traditional technology that we have. And there was a blockage there. And I was having fun with them because there was charcuterie out that day. And at least to your point, the stuff that we eat. And I said, none of this here is for you. That's all for me. But he was telling me, and it brought it to real life, about how this early detection can change the course of not only your own life, but obviously impacting your family as well. And you could just tell this guy had such a positive outlook. And he's here today because of technology like this. And I just thought that was really cool. That wasn't my question. It was just a commentary.
Yeah.
And I do apologize. I don't remember his name, but he was a lovely gentleman. I enjoyed chatting with him.
Yeah.
As I'm listening to you and as I've gotten to know you, you're in business development, as am I. And when I'm going out there and I'm developing employee benefits and group retirement and other people are out there talking about software and so on and so forth, I'm curious because to me, your role is a little bit unique. Because your product is essentially a better, longer life, right? So like, how do you go and create a growth strategy around that? Because I'm sold. You see me, I've got my Oura ring, you know, I'm taking all my supplements. I'm trying to do all the right things, but maybe you could just walk us through them. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as with any business development, it's getting in front of the right people for sure, right? To get the message out and to help navigate different pockets of clients who this might be beneficial for. But the biggest component of all of this, in my experience, is really the education piece. So people do understand how threatening some of these diseases are, right? They have either experienced it like we've talked about here, or they've heard of the stories. And fortunately, well, or maybe unfortunately, they also have an awareness of the limited tools that our system has to help really navigate that. Yeah, sure. When you're at the most advanced stages of disease, like, we have a protocol and we can execute on that and hopefully keep you as healthy as possible or alive for as long as possible. But other than that, if you're walking into your doctor's office to try to be healthy, there's really no time for that in a 15-minute appointment, right? These 15-minute appointments that we see with our family doctor are all about, okay, what are you feeling? And let's put a Band-Aid on this as quickly as possible. And so many people don't actually understand how limited our system is in its ability to detect these. So we talked a little bit about Parkinson's, all your personal experience, cancer, right? 70% of cancer deaths are occurring as a result of cancers for which no screen exists, right? Think about that one for a second. We have the sense of security around cancer screening and our ability to stave off cancer. And it's just unfortunately not the reality. Heart disease, another one. 50% of heart attacks are occurring in people who are having no symptoms, no sign or symptoms, no family history, perfectly healthy. For all intents and purposes, it feels random. Like, to those...
That's so scary.
It is. To them and their families, it feels completely random. And what do you do about this? And currently, the best you can get is a stress EKG. And that's well and good, except that gives you the false sense of security, because that's really only going to detect heart disease at its most advanced stages, right? If you're failing a stress EKG, you've got problems. But if you've got, you know, moderate heart disease, the stress EKG isn't going to identify that. So people don't really fully understand that, right? And there's a lot of marketing around some of the tools that we have available to us. It's just unfortunately not enough. So it's the education piece about there are alternatives and people just simply aren't fully aware of them. And even if they have a hunch that something exists, it can feel very daunting to step outside of the public health system without a medical degree of some kind, or else it can feel insulting to our values as Canadians, right? I've had that conversation a lot too, because people feel as though maybe I shouldn't be stepping outside of the public healthcare system. It's designed to cover us all. It's meant to support everyone. I don't want to take away from the resources. I don't want to support that. And those are real feelings. And that's part of the conversation. So it's the education and it's the open dialogue that I have with a lot of people. It's understanding people's objectives and people's personal objectives, professional objectives, right? And understanding that one size fits all approach does come at the expense of truly personalized care. So tailoring your approach, right? So that's certainly a big piece of it, the open dialogue about the experience. And yeah, those personal goals. Like, what do you want that last chapter, that last act of your life to look like? People have a lot of ideas about how they want it to look like, but people are very nervous about that, given maybe family histories, what might face them at the end there that will prevent them from living their best life or everything they've worked for. So my job really is gently, where necessary, pulling heads out of the sand a little bit and sharing these types of facts, arming individuals and business partners with the facts, with how limited our system truly is, and introducing them to advanced technologies available today, like what we're bringing to the market here, that can detect diseases at their earliest stages. So as well as the growing area of functional medicine, which I alluded to earlier, which is foundational to RegenaLife's approach. So for those who aren't familiar to the functional medicine, it really is that holistic view, that whole human view of what's happening. You know, to the business people and the IT folks in the audience, you'll relate to the root cause analysis, right? When something goes wrong in your business, you're always looking at, okay, what happened? Sure. And what caused that? So you really don't want that to happen again for operational efficiencies, you know, financial efficiencies, what have you. So you're really looking at that root cause analysis. And that's what we're doing at RegenaLife, is we're doing that root cause analysis on the human so that we understand what's really happening to a client, what's really going on, and that we're treating the root and not just the symptoms.
Lisa, there's a lot in your answer I want to unpack. And one of the things I really like that you said was, you know, you have those conversations about, and people might not like this idea because they feel like they're not being loyal Canadians and stepping outside of the system. And that's part of what this podcast is about. I mean, we named it Success Leaves Clues because we want to tease out clues that make other people successful. And that happens in every episode. It's already been happening in this episode. But part of this is, it's a podcast of a conversation. And the conversation is happening with us today, but it will continue after this episode goes out. And people will come to me, either it's on DMs in my LinkedIn or just casually when we're having a meeting, and I will get, wow, I really loved what Lisa was saying. I got to find out more. And then you may get people who say, I hated what Lisa was saying because, to your point, that's not how the Canadian system is built. And that's okay. Everyone is entitled to have an opinion. And what I like about these conversations is it generates more conversations. And that's what we should be doing, especially as we evolve. And I don't know if I can say thankfully that I benefited, because it doesn't feel like something I benefited from. But I guess I have perspective now, because I watched my brother pass away a couple of years ago. Many people have heard me talk about that on this podcast. And it hurts still to this day. And that's why I talk about it. And I wish certain things had been in place to help him, right? So that's it. He's gone. Dad passed away a number of years ago. I wish technology had been more advanced, because maybe he would have gotten a couple of years, or at least a better quality of life. Mom passed away in March. And for anyone who has watched a parent in their last 48 hours of life, it's devastating. You know, it's not a great memory to have. But though, as you were chatting here, the one memory that popped up that I've never talked about on the podcast is, I met my wife when I was 23. I was very fortunate. I met her dad, and her dad, first thing he says to me, he says, you know, I'm a black belt in karate, right? And I said, well, I'm a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. And ever since then, we became best friends. We'd watch fights together. It was amazing. And I got to call my father-in-law, by the way, really, really good friends. And one of the saddest memories I have is, and I won't get into the details for privacy, but he died of cancer. And I remember going with him toward the end towards his doctor. And he asked the doctor, and he goes, how do I get more time? And the doctor saying to him, like, John, this is it. And just seeing him give up in that moment. And again, I'm not saying that your technology or the technology we have today would have given him, but I have hope that where we're going, and when I see things like this and companies like yours, I do have hope that maybe that future father-in-law and son-in-law maybe have that conversation further down the road, or maybe it doesn't even happen. I don't know. But it's, as you were chatting about that, it's one of those memories that I remembered. And it was such a hard moment for me to be sitting with him when the doctor said, like, this is it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry for your losses. Like, it's hard, and it's heartbreaking to hear. Yeah, it's a sad reality of life that we pass, but it doesn't really make it easier ever at all. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, because in those moments where you see the heartbreak and you see the pain and you see the suffering, and that's exactly what we're trying to eliminate for people, to be completely honest, right? The earlier you can detect disease, we know this to be true, the better outcomes that you have, the more chances of success that you have for treatment. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. Our solutions here are not for sick people. It's for people who, I mean, everyone will have some level of sickness for sure, and we'll detect that and optimize the health. There's no question. But for those acutely sick with something, this isn't going to be for them. Who it's for is the people who are really proactively looking at their health and planning for their future and saying, I don't want that surprise diagnosis. You know, I hear the stories. Someone's, you know, walked into the hospital with some sort of pain, and they walk out with a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. And whoa, what just happened? And that's what we're trying to prevent, because the technology is evolving, and the capabilities are increasing to be able to detect this stuff a whole lot sooner, when it's far more treatable and manageable to hopefully take death from that particular cause off the table, or else manage it effectively and efficiently for as long as possible to really preserve that quality of life.
We could definitely continue to really dig down deep into a lot of what you've already talked about. But you said a couple things in those last couple of answers. And, you know, we've had some other people in this type of industry on before, and I've heard them use the term that really our system is more of a sick care system than a healthcare system, because it's reactive, right? Like you just said, you go when something's happening, you get the diagnosis. What you're really trying to do here is, again, early detection, you know, and keep people healthy before they get to that stage. So kind of on that note, I'm curious about, if you can see or have seen the advancements in the technology, like maybe what's coming down the pipe next, because it's moving so fast. And I think technology in the healthcare system is one of those things that is evolving very quickly. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts around that. And I would love it if you have a success story to share from your company where, you know what, like we found this and dealt with it and the person would have never known and whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the technology is evolving rapidly. And we're at the intersection here of innovation and evidence with our organization. We want to be on the cutting edge of that. So we're constantly scanning the offers out there and really understanding and reviewing the science and the literature and understanding what are the best technologies out there, what's evolving, what's most likely to move the needle on an individual's health. And the foundation of a lot of the screening that we're doing now is the AI technology. And I think that's only going to grow, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, pulling the human out of the equation, and that's not to throw shade at humans, but you know, humans are humans, right? We have our day-to-day experiences. When we rely on any one individual's ideas, perspectives, eyes to be scanning a radiology report or something like that, there's bound to be errors. So the AI here is really the most efficient way to monitor the patterns and to put the data all together and triangulate all sorts of information to really support the best possible outcome. So for us, there's certainly a data play here in terms of collecting that and recording and monitoring the treatment plans and the outcomes and really optimizing that at the next level. So not just for the screening, but also for the treatment plans thereafter. And in terms of a success story, so Robin, actually, that's probably the most public one that I feel comfortable sharing because it happened to be at one of our events and this patient came and shared his story and it was around the heart disease. Like this gentleman had already had a heart attack. He had already had the angiogram. So he was already in the system. And so he continued to have symptoms. He then came into our program and he went through the cardiac scan. And through our cardiac analysis, it was found that he had this little known artery that was completely blocked. And we navigated this whole system and helped him get back to get the care that he required. So he had yet another angiogram. And unfortunately, they weren't even able to find him. So one of our physicians on staff explained the sort of procedure around an angiogram and how the way in which they do it, we're in a system of averages, right? So most people don't have this artery. Therefore, that procedure doesn't actually capture the arteries in that particular area because most people don't have it. So anyway, it's a whole story, but nevertheless, we got him the care that he needed and he's happy, well, and we've thwarted yet another heart attack. So absolutely a success story. This gentleman is super happy, super grateful, as I'm sure anyone would be. So we feel very happy to have been part of his journey.
Lisa, I'm going to take a right turn for a second just because, well, it's my podcast. I can do that. And it's fun.
Absolutely.
Usually this is the part where I'd say, what does success look like to you? But I think we're kind of getting that answer through this conversation. And this is one I've never thrown at anybody, but I'm always curious. If you weren't doing this, so money's not a factor, everything's paid for, you know, you don't have to worry about anything, you can travel your vacations that you want to do. If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing?
That's a great question because previously in my career, if you'd asked me that question maybe 5 years ago, it would be exactly what I'm doing today. So
interesting.
Right. So I'm kind of there, but you know, there's always something else. So at this point where from my vantage point right now, if I could do anything, it would be more down this path. You know what, to be honest, health and wellness is so important to me. It matters so much to me, as is connection and community. And so really helping people understand what they've got going on in their lives, what they can have control over, what's out there, how to help themselves professionally, mentally, physically, and to really help people be the best version of themselves. So in any sort of version of that, in any space that I could help and contribute in that way, that would be what I want to do. With, of course, several beach vacations, that would be very nice as well.
Definitely. Yes, definitely. And the good news is you can have those beach vacations while you're doing this.
That's right.
Absolutely. Right. There you go.
Right. That's the best part. No, thank you for your answer, because if people were to ask me, because I love what I do, I can't imagine retiring. I'm sure eventually I'll be forced to. That's a while down the road for me. But yeah, honestly, this is the part of what I do I enjoy the most. And sometimes we do it through the podcast. A lot of times we're doing it. I had lunch with one of my business clients yesterday, and this is what we do. We have conversations. Like,
yeah,
I pinch myself sometimes and think, oh my gosh, like I'm earning an income and this is my career. I get to talk to people. Yeah. And like you said in your bio, like, you know, solving problems for people, that's such a wonderful thing to be able to do. So
yeah.
So I love your answer, but we're at the point of the podcast where Al will throw out his signature question. And I'm kind of curious on how you're going to answer this one.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it. Lisa, a society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about what proverbial trees you might be planting? And maybe it's around the health equity. Maybe it's around entrepreneurship. Maybe it's around something that's happening in your own personal life. But I would love to hear what proverbial trees you're planting.
That's a good question. And, you know, I would answer that in the similar vein to what we just spoke about. To me, I want nothing more than for people to understand how much choice and agency they have over their lives, whether that's their health, whether that's their wealth, right? Whether that's their personal outcomes, their relationships, their career, whatever it is, you know, I spoke at the beginning about my journey getting into the world, right? You go to school and you get the job and you work hard and you get the promotions, you make the money, like you do these things and sometimes isn't as fulfilling as you were promised, right? And so giving people the permission to really step away from those averages, right? To look at other options, to get off that linear path and to really explore what drives them, what motivates them. So if there's anything I want to leave or inspire anyone by is the ability to ask themselves those questions, think critically about what you want and go after it, take the little steps and anything is possible. It really is. And that sounds really crazy to people who are stuck in the thick of it, but it's true, right? Like you take one step forward in each direction. Again, whether it's taking control of your health, and that's obviously a big important thing for me to have someone say, oh, my genes are my destiny. It's heartbreaking because it's not, right? Like you can do so much more. And the same can be said in career, right? I got to do this. So generally helping people understand that they have choice and agency and they really can do great things for themselves. And that would make me more than happy to hear that that's what I've left behind.
Well, I love that answer. And, you know, certainly it's very obvious that you're in a good spot right now in terms of what it is that you want your life to be about. It sounds like you've found a really, really good fit. So good for you.
Thank you.
I'm sure just like everyone, it's taken a while for you to get there, but it sounds like you've found it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Lisa, thank you for doing this. And I'm going to say it in all four languages that you understand. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Muchas gracias. And gracias mucho.
Very impressive.
All righty. Let me try that back.
Not bad, right?
Not bad at all. You're welcome. De rien. Gracias. De nada.
I love it. Love it. That's a first for the podcast.
There you go.
Lisa, this has been great. I appreciate you. I appreciate our business relationship and our friendship as well, because I love the conversations that we have. For listeners interested in learning more about you specifically or what you're doing at RegenaLife, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Generally speaking, you can check out the RegenaLife website. There's some basic information and an opportunity to put your information in and schedule a call. You can certainly reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to have the conversation as well. So you can find us very easily either way.
Okay, awesome. Well, that does it for today's episode. Al and I always hope you enjoy the conversation as much as we did. We saw it here again. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time.